spending hours creating that perfect podcast and that perfect YouTube video isn't enough anymore. You've got to take that content and put it on TikTok and Instagram Reels and all of the places. Today, Jeff C., my guest, is going to show you how to use AI to repurpose your content to all the platforms. Take that one piece of content, chop it up for all the platforms, and get the maximum value out of your time and that one piece of content. Let's get into it. Welcome to the OTW Show. I'm your host, Paul Gatter, and this is the show where I hope to help you create the life you want to live by leveling up your business. I was able to create a business with side hustles and a website, all while working a full-time job, to create a way for us to travel to Disney World over 42 times with our daughter, cruises all over the world, and I hope I can help you create that lifestyle, whatever it is that you want to achieve with this show. Today, we're joined by my friend, Jeff C., who is a master at taking content and repurposing it for all the platforms. He's going to really dig into how AI can help you. All of these tools and, you know, trying to create the right size video for Reels, or how do I get the maximum clicks and engagement on Pinterest? Knowing all of that stuff is hard. There are tools that can help you, and Jeff is going to walk us through how to get that done. I first started following Jeff with his manly Pinterest tips, which was so unique, twist on showing men how to use Pinterest to really get traffic and engagement to their content. And he blew up, and he had so many great tips and tricks on Pinterest. Now he helps people use all the platforms with repurposing. He's an incredible speaker. If you've ever heard him speak, you know he is great at mixing in his humor and his stories with really helping you achieve those goals and getting value out of what he's talking about. He will be speaking again at Momentum this fall. If you're interested in learning more about that, go check out lumangelo.com. There's several friends that will be speaking there, and I've spoken there a few times. It is a fantastic conference. Go find out more about that. But I'm so excited to have Jeff join me today. Jeff and I also host a mastermind with a group of entrepreneurs. If you're interested in learning more about that and really finding a group that can help you be accountable and help you level up your business while working together in that group setting, let me know. We'd love to have you join one of our masterminds. But here is Jeff and with some repurposing tips and how to maximize AI to help you in your business. Jeff, thanks so much for being here. I'm really looking forward to talking with you about repurposing AI and all the, and maybe Pinterest even. So if you wouldn't mind, though, for those of us who haven't seen your show or don't know that you're Jeff C. and I'm not, please introduce yourself and let them know what's going on.
Yeah, so I've been doing this, and I always joke about it on the show, that since Google Plus, that's where I cut my teeth, doing live video. I had a show and the blog. It's still there. Mainly Pinterest tips. I was deep into the Pinterest, doing strategy there, trying to grow it because Pinterest is a search engine and it still drives a ton of traffic. So that's what I started on. I went and I did my own thing. Then I got hired to run like Social Media Examiner's Pinterest. Then I kind of did all their live streaming, did their shows, spoke at like 5 years of their conferences. And then I started my own thing called Social Media News Live. Also at jeffc.com, do speaking, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of it. Wrapped up really quick, but we do a live show every Friday. And Paul, you have been a co-host on there as well as a guest on the show. And we talk about, you know, what's happening in the world of social media and the creator economy, and do that every Friday live at 10 a.m. Central. So just finished one with our pal, Lou Mangello. He was just on the show and we had a great talk about solopreneurs and all that kind of stuff. But as when it comes to AI and stuff, which we'll dig into, I use that extensively to repurpose my show and create content from that one piece of like pillar content.
Yeah, that's one of the things that it's so impressive to see after your show, how many places your content spreads, which is one of the things I really want to talk to you about. But before we get there, how did you, you know, I followed you for a while before we, you know, met or what, at Momentum and other places. And had seen your mainly Pinterest tips for a long time. That was some, you did so, you were killing it on Pinterest. But how did you get into the social media game? Like, where were you before this?
So, here? Yeah, so I started, so I had a video production business. So I did a lot of video production here locally. I did like long form corporate videos for people. I started doing it at my church and I found I liked it. And this is back in the day, like Adobe Premiere 2. Like I still remember the box cover when I had like a 380 megabyte hard drive. I thought I made it. I would never need any more space. So I started getting into video, started a web design company. We did like, flash websites. Remember those? You can thank me later. Did a lot of those flash websites, then moved into like, I had, like CD productions. When those business card CDs, came out, everybody wanted those where they could print their business card and then stick it in the disc tray and it would run a presentation. So I would make and produce those. And then I started, seeing social media come and my clients, I was helping them set up their websites and their social media accounts. So I thought, well, I'm helping people. I should probably do it for myself. So I started diving into social media and I was driving back and I listened to a podcast and it was like how to drive traffic to your blog with Pinterest. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I started doing that. I wrote an article, put it to Pinterest. It kind of went semi-viral and it was like mainly Pinterest tips, how to create mainly Pinterest tips. Number one, how to create a secret board with your daughter. And how you could, Abby and I would share, you know, recipes and stuff and whatever. Well, that took off. And then, so I started it was the Wild West in Google Plus where the live video was going on. So I started a show with these people who were had way more followers than I did. We had four of us and then we'd have a guest on. We were able to interview like Guy Kawasaki. We got the producer of Pretty Woman and Under Siege came on the show. I mean, so it was like the Wild West. Everybody was doing live video. And that helped, you know, spur on that stuff I had mentioned earlier, going to Social Media Examiner and doing stuff with that. But then it just kind of blew up and then I got all in on all things social.
Yeah. And I know even now you're really, you lean into podcasting. You really believe in the podcasting platform. And you're repurposing it. That's where I want to dig into. The repurposing is not just for podcasting, though. You can repurpose all types of content. So I like to, you know, give people some actionable tips here. So let's talk about repurposing. If we're a podcaster, if we're a live streamer, let's go there first. What are some ways that we can use repurposing? Because I know for me, sometimes I sit down to use Descript, which I know you're a big fan of, or some of these other programs, and I don't even know how to get started or what's going to be effective. I like playing with them, and then an hour goes by, and I don't feel like I got anywhere. So how do we get started with that stuff?
So the thing with, I actually started before it was like a thing to repurpose. Back when I did the mainly Pinterest tips shit live show, I always had a podcast out of that. So I love doing video. I mean, even if you want to do like audio first, still having the ability, like with what we're using Ecamm right here or some other tool that most of them have even with like Riverside, which I know Lou uses, there's a video and audio component. You don't have to use the video if you don't want, but it's better to have it. And I found that having that, some people like to watch video, some people like to watch audio. And so why not have both? Because the technology exists now to have it really easy and have your cake and eat it too, basically. So practically everything, once it's either there's an audio or a video show, starts with a transcript. Everything starts with a transcript. I mean, some people use Otter, some people use some other ones, but being able to look and read your content allows you to see those sections that you can trim out and put at different places, like a little clip on YouTube, an audiogram, or whatever you need to do. That transcript is where everything has to start. And so the tools now are really, really good. Like it'll 98% get you there. Sometimes it will misspell a name like I did Lou's today. And for some reason, when I say Lou Mangiello, sometimes it likes to put Limoncello and I have to fix that in the transcript. But being able to do that and look and now with tools like Descript and there's other ones where you can actually do text-based editing, where I can copy and paste a piece of text, move it around, delete it, and that reflects in the audio or video is a huge deal. Like I was doing nonlinear editing that's what I cut my teeth on. And being able to do this now makes it super fast and able to clip out sections, and then you can massage it if you want to go in a really high-end editor, or you can just make it with some of these tools now, like we talked about in the script, and export it as a, you know, whatever clip you want. The key is being able to identify sections in your content. So a takeaway, once you have that transcript, is looking for those keywords or that section you remember where Paul was on my show. He gave me this really great tip. I want to get that. That was like when he said it, it just, I'm like, oh, I need to do that. And there's even in Ecamm and other places, you can actually hit a button and mark like right after somebody says something good. So it's easy to find. So learning those tools that you can wait to market while you're kind of going along is really, really helpful. But I think that transcript is really important. And we even go a little bit further is we always have three sections to the show. So I kind of keep, I know where I can go in that transcript to find sections that will be a clip. Like we did on Lou about his course today. So one whole section was about his course. One was key tips for solopreneurs, and another in tips and tools for solopreneurs. And another one was the actual how to, you know, his momentum and why that's important. So that middle section I know has some great evergreen stuff that I can use. And so your journey to getting that great content is a lot shorter when you know where that section is.
So you make an audiogram, for example. Where are you finding the best places to put those? I mean, are you putting them across all the social media platforms, or are you finding better places that repurposing works?
So they're constantly changing. And, you know, we were talking last night actually about like, okay, what are they highlighting now? What are the social platforms wanting to put in there? And you kind of have to feed the beast a little bit. Like you have to do what they want. And so what we've done, and we've done it for a long time, is we have certain templates that we use inside of Descript that I actually created in Premiere, and it was able to take over there with all the little pieces. And we do square video for Facebook and LinkedIn, and what's the other one? Facebook, LinkedIn, and sometimes Instagram we put up there too. But we, and Twitter, and we constantly repurpose that. The other one we do, we can also really easy with these tools nowadays, is change the aspect ratio. So if it was a square video, I can make it, or a 16:9 like this one is right now, I can make it a square video, or I can make it like a vertical video. And now the tools with AIs can actually automatically do that for you. They can actually keep you centered in the screen. If there's an action going on, you can have B-roll automatically come up, and B-roll is that, you know, like when you're watching on YouTube, they'll have a talking head and all of a sudden like an example of whatever will come up on the screen, that's B-roll. Or like if I'm talking about Amazon, and I'm saying, hey, you know, this is a great tool, and then it will cut to that tool out in the wild being used. So that is now becoming more and more automated with AI. And so you don't have to be like a super, you know, in-depth editor for this. You can make these clips pretty easy with the tools out there now. And then we take them and we use a tool called repurpose.io, which allows us to, especially for vertical video that I found, and you can set up workflows almost like If This Then That, or, you know, Maker or some of those other services. But I publish it first to TikTok. And then what it does is it takes that TikTok watermark away and repurposes. This is for vertical video to Shorts and also Instagram and also to Pinterest.
And so
that's how we do
it. Yeah, I think that's some people may not know, but Pinterest does take, you can put send your videos up there.
Yeah.
Video pins. Yeah. That's huge.
And so we also use, we're just kind of talking about the whole thing, is we also take and use AI to create all the graphics for the actual blog posts that we're using. We do a mixture of, now we're going to have to use what, you know, I mean, Paul had told me that Facebook's actually liking pictures more. So we're going to start posting some more of those pictures that we create. We do that all in AI. I like to use Midjourney, and we put those out. We also make images that will go on Pinterest and Instagram too. So a lot of people and a lot of influencers, and they're not wrong, say concentrate on one platform and then, you know, start moving forward to the other ones. I'm such a nerd, and I've been doing this for such a long time that for me, I want to take it and I want to put it everywhere as I can, because the tech is there now that it makes it pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree you should lean into one platform, and where your audience is where you should lean into. But with a tool like repurpose.io, it's easy to send it to all places.
Right.
And I did the same thing. So I send it to all these different platforms. But I know that, like, for me, Powell's, or Facebook is where Powell's.com's community really is. So that's where I'm going to be posting a lot more original content, and I'm going to focus more on that. And then the repurposing can go everywhere. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You just have to know where your audience is. And I know you do pretty well on LinkedIn, and because you have more of an entrepreneurial group watching you. So LinkedIn is your place. Yeah. And so last night Jeff and I have a mastermind together. And last night we were talking about some of these tools, and I'm, while you're talking, I was playing with them. I use, and I'm mad now that I've paid for some of these, I've used a lot of stock images. And so even some of the articles I've published recently in the last couple of weeks, I use stock images to make the backgrounds for the YouTube thumbnails or the featured image on WordPress, all that. Last night I was able to create a couple of those using the tools you were talking about. So let's talk about AI and how people can get started and really effectively change what they're doing right now with the AI. Because I've done ChatGPT, and that's great, and you can get some ideas or whatever, but then developing images, that's a whole nother level. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So I think, because we're in such a crazy time right now, like tools change every week, and it's almost an arms race. Like, you know, when I first started this and was getting excited about how AI could help me repurpose content, I could not ingest I couldn't take a transcript from my show, which is about an hour long, and put it into ChatGPT. It wouldn't remember and whatever and all that kind of stuff. And so I had to make these workarounds where I put pieces in at a time and then, you know, work with it that way. Now it's no problem. I mean, you can take books in there. You can upload PDFs. You can have it connect to your Google Drive, all that stuff. So the tools are going to change something. It's going to have a better feature for a while, then they will catch up. So it's this big arms race. So the key is to learning right now, I think, is how to prompt for images. And the best way to do that, one is to play with it and figure it out. Like Midjourney is a little bit different from ChatGPT's, you know, image generation, and it's a little different from Ideogram generation. But once you learn how to ask it to create images for you, and then some of the subtle differences inside those platforms, that's where I think the key is going to go. Because Midjourney probably is not going to be the leader forever. Like some other tool will probably come up with something, and you want to take those skills that you've learned on one and be able to move it to the other one. So first of all, you know, play with it. Don't be scared. You're not going to break it. Like you may get crappy images, but you're not going to break anything. The worst you'll do is maybe waste some credits. The second thing is I would buy a paid plan on one of those platforms, because you're going to have to experiment. You're not going to be able to, I never, ever have actually entered a prompt and the first image is the one I want. It's just not going to happen. So you're going to have to roll, which means continuing to redo the prompt, craft the prompt a little bit different, or just have it generate new images. So that was one of the things that I would say. And then look what other people are doing. I think all of the sites have like a showcase feature where you can look and see what other people are doing. And you can actually go in, and that's where I've learned a ton, is looking on what their prompts always are. Like I may like a certain style. I'm like, okay, how did they get that style? And usually you can go in the prompt and kind of figure it out, kind of looking at the behind the scenes code that they use. And the other thing is I watch YouTube videos a lot. And the thing is, it is changing so much. So you want to check when you're looking for like how to create images in Midjourney or how to create, you know, something else in Descript, but you look at those videos that are recent, because it really does change almost weekly. So the first thing I do is I type in YouTube, like Midjourney prompts, and then I'll look at what date it came out, and then I'll go to those ones, because a lot of times they're out of date if you do not do that.
You know, one of the things we were talking about last night is using these in different places. And so the first question I had is, and we talked about it last night, but for people watching now, is it okay if I generate one of these images to use it on my Facebook profile or to use it on a blog? I mean, what rights do we have to use these images?
So this right now is changed, and sometimes it can be a gray area. Adobe's doing a really good job right now with only using images from their library that they have paid for to learn on from those artists' images or those photos. They're not really clear on a lot of times on how they have gotten that information to create the end product. The the thing that I like to do is I also like to buy a paid plan. Like, for example, I have the paid plan over on Midjourney because it gives me a commercial license, which means I can use it for clients. I can use it for my stuff. The cool thing to me more than anything else now with generated AI images is I have a custom piece of, image that I put on my blog. You know, before we were always scouring stock image sites and, you know, all the time, like especially if you're using Unsplash or some of those free stock photography sites, you would see them pop up in other places. Like, I mentioned this in our mastermind, was that I really love now when I do a presentation that every single image is the way I want it and what I'm trying to point across, right? I'm actually been able to use those to explain things in a YouTube video by doing B-roll, where I would like, I was talking about, you know, money or finances, and I can go into a piece of art that shows, you know, money and, you know, flying through the air, whatever, that is only for my video. Like, I'm not pulling that from a stock place to put in there. The cool thing is now actually video AI is coming out where it's actually going to be video B-roll that I'll be able to use. So it's just moving really, really fast. It'll come down to, I think YouTube is having you self-report if you're changing somebody's like image or doing that. I would not do a celebrity in AI. I would not do things that you know are copyrighted, like Mickey Mouse. I would not. You could probably get the AI to create something really close. I would not do that because you know Disney's sniffing around that stuff, and when you know they'll come after you. So I would just be careful. Try to, like, I don't think there's any problem with, especially for like YouTube thumbnails, making it an abstract background or something that enhances it. It's not really the subject of the image, but you need something behind a guest or something like that. I don't see any issue with those, you know, kind of abstract, you know, backgrounds that you could change, like somebody on a beach. I mean, I know you did some for your blog for cruising. Those kind of things, I think, are okay. It's going to be really hard, in my opinion, to put the cat back in the bag. I do think you should pay artists. I still think if you need a logo that you need to go pay for it. I don't think we're there yet to have it automatically do it for you without a lot of extra work. But so far, you know, there are some lawsuits, especially in the music side, but not, I haven't seen a ton with the image creation, just because it's really hard. Those algorithms mix everything up. It's using them to learn by. You can might get something in the same style as an artist, but you're not going to get that exact artist painting.
Right. And one of the takeaways from last night, and I think is great for people to hear, is those paid plans, because, and one, you get a commercial license. But one of the things you mentioned, so last night I was creating a bunch of images for a giveaway we're doing. We're getting ready to head out on Alaskan cruise, so we're doing a big giveaway for that. Mm-hmm. And I was having one of the AIs generate me some really cool images. And within a few minutes, people started liking the images. And you mentioned that, you know, one of the things you can do if you have a paid plan is keep your images private.
Yeah.
But you can also, and I mentioned this, you kind of touched on it, but you can start telling these things your style and kind of giving it your characteristics or what you, like kind of your base, right? And then have it go from there. So I think paid plans, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Really. So especially Midjourney lets you get what they call a stealth plan on one of the higher of the paid plans. And I can do that because I'm doing it for clients. I don't want other people to take my images. I just, that's just who I am. So people may not have a problem with that, but I want that barrier. Ideogram and Midjourney do that. Of course, ChatGPT does it as well. People can't see your images unless you share them out. But I just like that, that ability to, especially if you're doing stuff for clients or else, or even if you're like, just ideating things for your blog. I really don't want a lot of people seeing all the roles that I had to try to get that image. But I just think it's going to get better and better and better. I mean, this is the worst it's going to be right now, and it's pretty dang good. Yeah. And being able to create what you're thinking in your head pretty easily, I just think is really, really cool.
It's great. The thing about this is the worst, and it's only going to get better. I mean, some of the stuff it's generating is just nuts. I'm still using ChatGPT just to get sometimes an idea or just to get me started with writing an email or an article or something like that. Just give me, help me get started. Give me an outline, and it comes up with some crazy stuff.
So that's one of my favorite things to use AI for, is like, I call it the blank page syndrome. When you're up there and you're just looking like, I got to get this done. I don't know even where to start. And using ChatGPT or even these image-based things can help you get to where you need to go. So you're not just starting from scratch. I mean, one of my favorite things now that's a thing of Descript, it kind of is doing what like Opus AI and some of the other ones have been doing. But I can go in there and they have a button now called ask that your robot underlord, because overlord's too scary and underlord's all right. So you click on that and you can actually say, find good clips. And you can go from 30 seconds to 300 seconds, which is about 5 minutes, and it will go through your transcript and find clips. Now, is it perfect? No. But it helps me go in like, oh yeah, Paul did really say something really good. I'm going to extend that a little bit, add a little bit more for context, maybe move some things around. I got a clip, I'm done. So being able to do that, to have it like narrow things down, that's the biggest time saver for me for all of this. It's like, it's not doing all the work. It's helping me be more creative by narrowing my focus and what I need to do to get those clips out. And like for an hour show, I get 3 to 5 clips every time that are worth using and are mostly evergreen. And so that for me, to be able to create that kind of content and put it out everywhere, is like, that's how I make money.
Yeah. Being able to create multiple forms of content from one hour of working, that's going to save you tons and tons of time. It's really cool. And then you put it in a tool like SmarterQ or Repurpose and have it just sit there and go on repeat forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the way to do it. So automation is pretty cool. All right. So if somebody wants to get started with you and dig a little deeper, tell us what you have going on and how people can work with you.
Yeah. So I mentioned Descript a little bit. Descript is great. It's a little bit overwhelming. So I have a course that is just about ready to go out of beta. So if you want to get the cheaper price, you can go there and I'll give Paul a code that he can drop in there as well. He may already have one. I can't remember if I gave it to him, but it's jeffc.com/Descript101. So that's S as in Sam, IEH, and then /Descript101. You can find me at jeffc.com. You can find me at Social Media News Live. We've got a great show every Friday. So if you want to connect or check that stuff out, I would be more than happy to talk with you on any of the platforms.
All right. I have to ask two final question here. I want to help people like create the lifestyle they want to lead. So where are you? What's your driving force? What are you trying to build? Are you just trying to keep doing what you're doing? Or are we going to move to Florida and hang out in Disney World? Where are we heading, Jeff?
I wish I could get on a boat as much as Paul Gowder does, is what I want to do. I think that for me, it's now teaching people, especially creators. I really have a heart for creators to maximize their content. Like, it's hard to create content. I love being able to repurpose things, and the techs are able to do that now. So I think my passion is to help and build more of a community for people to learn about that. Like, this Descript course is just kind of the tip of the iceberg because it's one of the easiest ways to start doing that. But I think moving more towards helping more creators get their stuff seen easier and better is kind of where I'm heading.
All right. Awesome. Well, please reach out to Jeff and check out his Descript course for sure. It's good stuff. And you can see him speaking at Momentum again this year. You can learn more about that over on Lou's site. I was talking to Lauren yesterday, another friend of ours, and I said there, if we mention Lou's name too many times, he's going to show up.
That's right. Don't look in the mirror and say Lou Mangiello. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for your time today.
All right. Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.